In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be here with you today. Now, it's Wednesday, which is normally Word of God Wednesday, but today, instead, we're doing a Beacon of Truth playlist episode. We're going to take a look at the song Kyrie by Mr. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with that song. And of course, Kyrie is Greek for Lord. So when we pray at Mass, Kyrie eleison means Lord, have mercy in Greek. And so, you know, this seemed an obvious song to choose, right, for a Beacon of Truth playlist episode. And that's what we're talking about today. Kyrie by Mr. is our selection today on the Beacon of Truth playlist. And of course, we would love to hear from you today. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. And, I'm still coming off the high of the spiritual high of our pilgrimage to Italy, Eucharistic Miracles of Italy, which was absolutely wonderful. And then going from there to the Deacons Conference, where I gave a lecture with Scott Hahn and Dr. John Bergsma there at the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology, which I very, very much enjoyed. And, heading to give a keynote address for one of our EWTN radio partners, the Real Presence Radio. I'm going to give a keynote at a radio fundraising event there. So I'm doing that as well. Just again, we're moving here to the Advent season, preparing for the coming of the Lord at Christmas. And, you know, we want to make sure that as we enter into this season, that we're not, bringing Christmas too quickly, as this culture has a tendency to do. Like in August, there are already things in the store for Halloween. Even before Halloween comes, they're already putting stuff for Thanksgiving. And as soon as Halloween is over, Thanksgiving is not even here yet, they're already putting stuff out for Christmas. So it's just this culture is just focusing on the retail, and the commercial consumer side of things. And what we should be focused on is allowing that process of preparation, right? Preparing for the coming of the Lord, which is what Advent helps us to do, and to take that time to really prepare well. We think about that. And hopefully we'll get some wonderful insights from our Beacon of Truth playlist song today, Kyrie by Mr. Again, would love to have you be part of the program today. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. And I know some people that help bring you this show every day that will be preparing well, because they prepare every day for this show. So it's just a natural connection that they'll be preparing well for the season of Advent as well. And who am I talking about? I'm talking about Matt Gabinski, who screens your calls, and Michael McCall and Pedro Quiles, who does social media. And, of course, our main man, our producer, who's always ready for action, the one and only Ace McKay. Ace, how goes it today?
I'm good, man. I love our playlist additions because, A, it makes me go, if I haven't heard the song in a while, I go back and kind of spend some time with it just to kind of, get reflections on not only why we chose it, because, we started playlists, a year or so ago? And so to think about why it was originally top of mind awareness, but then maybe what it might mean now, processing it through our Beacon of Truth, because the idea is not to over-spiritualize a secular song or make it mean something it doesn't. But if we are letting these songs influence us, it's a way for us to see it through our lens of faith so that we don't misinterpret or give ourselves, which we do this in music a lot, give ourselves the excuse to live a certain way or be a certain way because we let that song become an anthem.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so, we again, I love what you said there. That's exactly the point. We're not reinterpreting the song. Well, here's what the artist should have done.
Right.
We're not questioning their motives or anything like that, but looking at a song that most people would be familiar with, and again, looking at it through the lens of faith, and I think that's fair. Especially again, we can't listen to the song, but we can. We're looking at it through the lyrics,
Yeah.
right? And obviously, the one we're looking at today is pretty clear. Kyrie. I mean, like I said, I'm not exactly sure of the complete motives behind the song, but it's very, it lends itself to a Beacon of Truth playlist analysis, if you will,
Sure.
just by the very nature of the song itself.
Well, and I had heard or saw an interview with the band because obviously, when you release a song like this, the first question is, are you a Christian band? And so, first of all, we're not, but this song came from a time when the band or the collaborative songwriting efforts, they were having spiritual experiences through some traumatic events that had happened in their life. So the thing that I love in those moments is that even if you don't consider yourself of faith or you don't feel like you have a relationship with God, you at least know you got to go to him when you're going through trauma. And so I love that they then express that into a song that, again, people sing all year. It's not just a Christmas Advent song from the pop, world. It's something that you hear on 80s radio or, adult contemporary radio stations. And whether you know what Kyrie Eleison means, you're literally kind of having a moment with God, and he may be paying attention and you don't know it.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. And so I think it's important for us also that we have time to think about and reflect on, things that happen in our life, whether they're good events or traumatic events, and not allow just the feelings from those events to control us or to be forefront in our mind, but to see how is God working through all of this. It may take time, and once you get past the emotion of the incident or whatever, and just thinking about the big picture, I think reflecting on what is the possible deeper meaning or how can I respond to this, even though I may not understand what God is doing, how can I still continue to foster a relationship of intimacy with the Lord in the midst of all of the pain or the anguish that I'm experiencing right now. Loss of a parent, a difficulty with a child, or difficult marriage, something like that. Are all opportunities, I think, to move closer to God, as difficult as it may be in that moment.
Yeah. Well, and also too, and maybe this comes from being a Southern boy most of my life, but phrases like Lord have mercy or Lord bless 'em or whatever, like we say it as like a catchphrase, but it also is a prayer. That's the thing, like God has just enough of a sense of humor, like, okay, if you're asking for my mercy, I'm going to grant it. If you're asking for my blessing, I'm going to grant it, And so we can easily just passively say these things and not really realize what we're saying. And that, to me, that's the beautiful thing of the playlist editions is, if nothing else, it puts you in a position where every song that you listen to, you're processing it through your faith.
Yeah, that's true. Because when you're living your faith, or what I call living Eucharistically, right? Taking what we receive in word and in sacrament, that double feeding at Mass, and then becoming Eucharist to the world. That Christ gives us everything we need to that strengthens us along this journey, and so every aspect of our lives then, we see. It's not like you're seeing God like under every rock or anything like that, but you're living with a certain perspective. You're looking through the lens of faith. When you look at another person, you're not like, for example, all the anger and vitriol that happens in our culture with politics or whatever it may be. There's so much anger. We stop looking at, okay, here's someone that I disagree with, but at least I can still respect them. At least I can still listen to them. At least we can have a respectful dialogue, and I think that's the difference that faith makes, looking at things through a particular lens and seeing the dignity of that person, in that dialogue.
Yeah. Well, and when we talk music, the thing I love too, if you have conversations of music outside of what we do here, it gives you an opportunity to understand why people like a song, right? Because then you say, well, you know, why do you like that song so much? Then you can get the perspective of, well, this helped me during a time when I lost my mom, or this helped me when I was, you know, really angry all the time, you know, or whatever it is. So you're getting to know that person, but then through music, you're making an even deeper connection.
Yes, which is what music helps us do, which is why we sing at Mass, right?
Amen.
Music helps bring everything together. All right, Beacon of Truth playlist episode today on Beacon of Truth. We'll take a look at Kyrie by Mr. Mister. We'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
Like a fanfare.
Oh, yeah.
The thing that's always fun, especially from a drummer's perspective, is you can play that kind of beat at the beginning, and it could be a million songs based on whoever hears it and goes, oh, they're going to play, you know, and they're like, oh, that's not what I thought it was going to be, you know.
Exactly right. Oh, that's so cool. This song just gets you moving. Jeff Curry. Very lively, but the syncopation of the drums.
Yep. And just the synth.
Yep. Love that. Great feel.
Now the bass taking over.
Yeah. Oh, you gotta love that. Love these playlist episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we have a Beacon of Truth playlist episode. We're taking a look at Kyrie by Mr. Mister. Again, looking at the song through the lens of our faith. And of course, we'd love to hear from you today. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
We're staying connected through social media. Of course, if you're already on Facebook, maybe you're there right now. Search EWTN Radio so that we can stay connected throughout the week, not only with live shows, but also just with conversations about our faith. So find us easily, EWTN Radio, on Facebook.
All right, my friends, it's now time for the Soulful Psalm segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms, we take one of the Psalms from the wisdom literature of the Old Testament and that we hear in every holy sacrifice of the Mass and that we pray in the Liturgy of the Hours, and we connect that Psalm to your everyday lived experience. And I'm using the Revised Grail Psalms. This is a version of the Psalms that have been approved for use by the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops and the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And so we'll be, as they do, newer editions of different missals. You'll be hearing this translation being used at Masses. And this translation was compiled by the Benedictine monks of Conception Abbey. And we're taking a look at, continuing our look at Psalm 136. Now, what's interesting, Psalm 136 is not a Hallel Psalm, which is a psalm of praise. So the Hallel Psalms are 113 to 118 and Psalm 135. And also there's a Deutero Hallel Psalms or second praise psalms, Psalms 145 to 150. This psalm it sounds like a praise psalm because it's of the repetitive nature of the psalm. For his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, God of gods, his mercy endures forever. That repeating line there. But it's actually not a Hallel Psalm technically. All right. So this is in, of course, book 5 of the Psalms. No prescript or superscript for the Psalms. We don't know exactly who wrote this Psalm. But it has that repetitive line. For his mercy endures forever. For his mercy endures forever. For his mercy endures forever. Every other line of the psalm. There's no other psalm like this one in the Psalter. So it makes this psalm very unique. And again, some people will talk about, oh, I don't like repetitive prayer in the psalms, like, struggling with like the rosary, because you're repeating the Hail Mary and the Our Father, that kind of thing. But in this psalm, this is, that one beautiful line about the power of God's mercy. It kind of reminds me, actually, praying this psalm is kind of like praying the chaplet of divine mercy, right? I love that. And so we pick up here. So this psalm starts off, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever, right? And so it goes through, and again, it goes through a little bit of salvation history here, the journey through the Red Sea, the battles with the Assyrians and the Amorites, and while they're in the desert making their way to the Promised Land. And so we pick up here with this beautiful psalm in verse 24, which is right near the end here. So he says, and he snatched us away from our foes, for his mercy endures forever. And so just going back a verse before that, actually, verse 23, he remembered us in our distress, for his mercy endures forever. Right? And so we were, Ace and I were talking about in the first segment how, when we're going through something difficult, that we can call on the help and the mercy of God. And this is exactly what the psalmist is calling for here, that God remembers us in our distress. Again, it may feel that God is apart from us. It may feel like God is not acting because he's not responding in the way that we want him to respond. He's not responding in the time frame that we want him to respond in. But God is always faithful and will, respond. He doesn't like, no parent likes to see their children suffering, right? And God is our Heavenly Father, doesn't like to see us suffer. But life brings suffering with it just by the very nature of it. But through all of that, God's mercy will endure forever for us. And he snatched us away from our foes, for his mercy endures forever. Right, so those who are persecuting us, those who are maligning us, those who are treating us unfairly, those who are showing bias and prejudice, those who just don't like us because we're willing to stand up for our faith. God will take us away, take that sword away from us, if you will, eventually, right? We may have to endure this for a lifetime, just being real. I mean, this may be something that we have to endure for years, even persecution. Someone I think that may be wrongly imprisoned, for a crime they didn't commit, spending years in prison. And we see this, with people being cleared by DNA. They were locked up in jail, and the DNA testing shows that they actually couldn't have committed the crime, but yet they spent, 20 years in prison, 20 years of their life gone that they'll never get back again. Things like that. That God will bring us through all of that. He will snatch us away from our foes, and ultimately God's righteousness will rule in our lives. Why? Because his incredible divine mercy endures forever. He gives food to all living creatures, for his mercy endures forever. So God provides us with everything that we need. Jesus reminds us again in the Gospels, about the birds of the air. Do the birds of the air need anything? No, God provides for all their needs. And within the context of us accumulating things here on earth, do we really need those things? Or are we going to trust in God to provide for us? Right? That doesn't mean that we don't do anything. And all of a sudden, the money's going to fall out of the sky or something like that. We're not seeing that at all. But we have to work within our different gifts and talents and our sphere of influence to make sure that we're not accumulating things that are going to take the place of God's love in our life. That we're so caught up in the things of this world, and not just money, popularity, notoriety, being ex liked and accepted by people, because people are willing to compromise their values as people of faith in order to be accepted by other people. And that's wrong. I know it's difficult, especially if you're struggling, if you have someone in your life, a loved one, a child who's struggling with same-sex attraction or transgender, and you want to be merciful. And so you think the way of being mercy is just to, well, it's okay. I accept that lifestyle choice decision. And God, and then what do we do? Then we water it down. Well, God loves everybody, and God made everybody differently. We have different colors and different languages, so we have different, that's a whole different thing. That's apples and oranges. God doesn't make m mistakes. God created us out of love, and yes, there may be some defects there, but that is not on God's part. Those things are a result of sin. For example, someone born with trisomy 13 or something like that, some kind of birth defect. Those things happen because a result of the effects of sin in the world that are still here. I mean, in heaven, and when God and Jesus comes back at the end of time to reclaim his kingdom, those things won't exist anymore. There'll be no more earthquakes, no more typhoons, there'll be no more disease, there'll be no more birth defects or anything like that. And so, we love and accept everyone, no matter what state in life or condition that they're in, because we see them as made in God's image and likeness. But that doesn't mean that we accept a particular lifestyle choice decision, right? And so, yes, we love everyone, but we always don't love their actions, and we judge actions, we never judge people. And so God feeds us with his word, which is truth, because his word ultimately is a person, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and a deep relationship and encounter with him. And Jesus teaches difficult things. He says, do you think I've come to bring peace? I've come to bring the sword. Mother against daughter, father against son, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. Why? Because the truth divides even families. And so we have to stand strong and firm in our faith despite what people in our lives that we love may be doing that are contrary to the faith. And that's hard. That's really hard to do. But that's what we're called to do as followers of Jesus, and pray for those people and fast for them and sacrifice for them. Then finally, here it says, to the God of heaven give thanks, for his mercy endures forever. So we give thanks and praise and honor and glory to the living God in heaven, because he is the fulfillment of our hope. He is, because we have faith, hope, and love, the theological virtues, the supernatural virtues that we exercise here on earth. But there will be no more faith, there will be no more hope when we reach heaven. The fulfillment, why? Because heaven is the fulfillment of our faith. It is the fulfillment of our hope. The only thing that we will have with us that we have here on earth is love. Not our possessions. Not the material things of this world, not even the virtues of faith and hope, only love will exist at the end. Why? Because God's merciful love endures forever. The things of this world will pass away, but God's love will never pass away. And he's calling us to participate deeply and intimately in that love. All right, Beacon of Truth playlist today, Mr. Mister. Would love to hear from you. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
Yeah. Get your loafers.
Yeah. I love the horns, man.
What do they call that? Stanky leg?
Yeah, there's nothing like real horns, man. I mean, the synth horns, you can just tell, Oh, the guitar making a little noise up in there.
He's off in the back of the corner. The horns took the front of the stage.
Yeah, that's right.
Could almost be your theme song when you come out on stage for your speaking engagement.
It sounds like that, doesn't it? Like, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Deacon Harold. Then when we get a budget, we can get real horns on stage. And be...
Oh, that'd be nice. That'd be nice. I just love the breathiness. I mean, you could certainly tell real horns and synth horns. As good as those patches are on the synth, you know, there's nothing like the breathiness and the punch of real horns. Love it.
Yeah, so good.
All right. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today, we have a Beacon of Truth playlist episode. We're taking a look at the song Kyrie by Mr. Mister. That is a song that Ace and I are going to take a look at today. And, of course, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
Of course, we're always excited when we get a chance to check out Podcast Central, because great shows like Sunday Catholic Word gives us a deeper dive into the mass readings for each week. So if you want a better understanding, or maybe something really connected and you want to go back and reflect on it from different perspectives within those of like faith, you can do that. Easy to find when you go to Podcast Central, ewtn.com/podcast, and just look for Sunday Catholic Word.
All right, my friends, a special Beacon of Truth playlist episode today. We're taking a look at Kyrie, the song by Mr. Mister. And, of course, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. Mr. Mister was a popular band back in the 80s. And this song, Kyrie, was released on their album Welcome to the Real World, that was released... this has been my sophomore year in college, Christmas of 85. And it was number one song on the Billboard 100 back in March of 86 is when it hit number one, and where it was number one for a couple of weeks, and it also hit I think number one in a couple other countries as well. I think in UK it was number 11. In March, in that same time from March of 86. So popular song, a lot of people know it. Do you know if Mr. Mister is still around, if they're touring or anything?
Not that I'm aware of. In getting ready for today's show, though, I did discover that they actually put, because it fit, they put the phrase Kyrie Eleison in, thinking there's no way pop radio will play this song. And then, of course, it went all the way to number one. So again, you can play with phrases that you think will somehow dismiss your song or dismiss, you know, the Lord, you know, da, da. But he's like, nope, you're going to say my name? Number one, baby, all the way.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So if we dive into the song here, so obviously it starts off Kyrie Eleison. And again, that's very, very familiar to Catholics listening, because that's the Greek for Lord have mercy. Mm-hmm. And so often in Mass, you hear them sing Kyrie Eleison, Christe Eleison, Kyrie Eleison. Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. So the song starts off, Lord have mercy. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder, when this song came out, If you weren't a person of faith, would you understand, like, you know, I don't think you would understand what that means or what they're saying.
Yeah, not
you
at
know,
all.
You know how you have songs like Blinded by the Light? Remember
yeah.
that?
Sure.
By Man for Man and the Earth Band. It's like, what? Wait, what are they saying there?
Yeah.
You know, what was that again? And you hear all kinds of wacky interpretation of what you think they're singing there. And I could imagine it would be the same for a song like this if people didn't, what is that? They went, oh, wait, that's just Greek. They wouldn't mm-hmm. understand what that is. I just wondered what people would thought that they were saying there.
Sure. Well, and it happened with Phil Collins' Sussudio. When he wrote the song,
he just made
up a jumble word thinking, oh, I'll fix it later. We'll put something in there that makes sense. And he couldn't. So for years, people were like, you know, Googling, looking in the dictionary, what is Sussudio? What is he saying? What's the hidden message? He's like, nope, it's just a nonsense word.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm sure like everybody had to know, what is Kyrie Eleison? So I would think the education of that phrase became common in, you know, that place of the 80s because people were seeking it out.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, so I wonder what the response. Well, obviously it's number one, so people really like the song. I think there's something to be said there for not shying away from your faith. So you see some of the background. This was a traumatic incident that happened to one or more of the band members.
Yeah, they didn't necessarily specify what the traumatic event was, but in a day and age where articles and interviews were less about the band's personal life and more about their experiences on stage and playing to the persona of the rock star lifestyle or whatever, I feel like in this day and age, that would be the probing question. Well, tell us about that traumatic event, right? At least that's as an interviewer, that's what I would want to know is, well, what happened that brought you to this song? But yeah, I mean, I would think too, especially because John Lennon used to always say when you're writing a song, tell the truth and make it catchy or make it singable. And to me, to be able to sing the name of the Lord so freely, even if people don't necessarily understand the full meaning, there is still connotations that come with that, and they want to understand what am I singing? So again, we beacon of truth. We talk about the truth of God's word. What better way than in a song to be singing phrases that are just at the front of our lips? So that, again, like if you don't know what to pray, you're not sure where you are with God. I mean, Lord have mercy. I mean, that's just not a good-looking woman walked in the room and you had, a full house moment. You really are asking for God's aid.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. And a good reminder for us, we should always be calling on the name of the Lord,
Amen.
right? Lord, have mercy.
Yep.
And so the verse, the wind blows hard against this mountainside, across the sea into my soul. So this immediately reminds me of the apostles in the boat on the Sea of Galilee, and the wind is blowing hard and pushing against the boat, and Jesus sleeping in the back of the boat. And they're like, they're all freaking out. Oh, and Jesus, we're drowning. Don't you care? Are you going to save us? And Jesus rebukes the wind, which is also, you can see a foreshadowing of that in one of the Psalms as well. It talks about they sailed in the sea in ships, and the wind blew. And rattled the ship, but then God calmed the seas, and brought them to the haven that they desired, right? Which would be heaven. So obviously, this wind blowing is a reference to whatever they may be going through, and we feel like that sometimes as well, that the wind of whatever is happening that we're suffering with is rocking our world at the moment.
Well, and also, I love too the imagery of that because so much in worship music is this way where they're painting the pictures of mountains and oceans and sandy beaches and whatever, because it's the vastness, the endlessness of it, that either we're feeling consumed or we're feeling blessed, or it goes, the imagery there goes on so many levels. So I love how this starts in a Lord have mercy mindset to the fact of God's vastness, of a worshipful moment of Lord, I need your mercy, and I am worshiping whatever you choose to give me in an abundance.
And in fact, he says that this wind is blowing into my soul. So it's penetrating deeply. I mean, he's feeling this not just physically, but spiritually. It's affecting him at a deeper level of his being. Which is what pain does. It's the pain of rejection, the pain of a physical ailment, the pain of when someone abandons us or cheats us or whatever it may be. But there's the physical pain that we feel, but then as we reflect on it, it goes deeper into our soul. And it says it reaches into where I cannot hide, setting my feet upon the road. So you can't hide from it, you can't turn from it, you can't avoid it. Whatever happening is happening. And he said, setting my feet upon the road. That's very interesting, because now he said, okay, this wind is blowing, it's penetrating my soul. I can't hide from it, I can't run, and this is setting me on a path somewhere. Right? He realizes that this traumatic event is leading him someplace. He's now on a road, Maybe he's not on a road where he thought he was going, but now he's on a different road, and this road is leading him somewhere.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, because, you know, road images are used in so many songs anyway. Yeah. So it's, you know, the long and winding road, you know, the, you know, endless road, all these things, because again, as we do in our faith, as we, you hear on this show a lot and others, is we're supposed to be on the narrow path, the narrow road that leads to Jesus, that leads to heaven, you know, that thing, because again, if it was just wide, we'd all just fall on it by accident, right? There is a reason that it is narrow and that we're to stay focused with every step that we take. So I love the use of, you know, setting my feet upon the road, because that's what God does, right? He sets us where we need to be rooted.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And, you know, it also reminds me of Isaiah, you know, foreshadowing John the Baptist, you know, the voice crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. You know, that the Lord will, whatever path that we're on, even though it may be jagged, rough, crooked, that the Lord, when we have him in our life, will help make it straight. Which again, the cry out, Lord, have mercy. You know, asking the Lord to be present in those moments.
Yep.
I'm Deacon Harold Brooks Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're taking a look on our Beacon of Truth playlist episode at the song Kyrie by Mr. Mister. And of course, we'd love for you to be part of the program. Send us an email today, beacon@ewtn.com. All right. And so let's continue to verse 2. My heart is old. It holds my memories. My body burns like a gem-like flame. So a couple things here. My heart is old. But say you're in your 20s, right? But you're saying your heart is old. It doesn't mean, I don't think it means physically old, like, you know, you have the heart of an 85-year-old. No. Why is it old? Because it holds my memories. Now think about that. If your memory is like a computer storage, think of how many terabytes of information will be stored there. Memories from going back to childhood. And say, even in your mid-20s, think of all the memories, the seconds, the minutes, the hours, the days, the months, the years of visual and audio memories that have been compiled. And you're only still in your 20s. That's why I think you said your heart is, in a sense, old, you know, because of the memories that your heart holds. Your body like a gem-like flame. I think of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, that flame coming from the heart of Jesus. You know, that even in the midst of what's going on, you know, our hearts are burning with love for God.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a phrase we say a lot of times of, you know, well, have you met so-and-so that they're an old soul? I mean, it's that way. I could easily say that about my kiddos just because in the way I raised them through music and then their own life experiences, right? Because you see things, and I think even there's a running joke of like Gen X, you know, we were born 30 and we're still 30, right? You know, it's that frame of mind of how you were raised or the traumatic things that you face really at an age that you're like, oh my gosh, I can't imagine that to a 5-year-old or an 8-year-old. But there's a part of you that has to grow up to embrace and to heal through that. And obviously with God's help in a Lord have mercy situation on this child, on my soul, on theirs, on the relationship. But that's the beauty of God's mercy, is that he meets us where we are. And even if it ages us a little bit, the great thing is we can then be available to help other people who are about to go through the same thing.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. And, yeah, and God is with us in that pain and with his mercy.
Yeah.
So it may not feel that he is there, but he's definitely with us along the way. And it continues verse 2. This is interesting. Somewhere between the soul and soft machine is where I find myself again. What do you make of that verse?
Well, I mean, I think it's a matter of he's making choices that put him in a place that, okay, I said I wasn't going to be here again, or I didn't want to go down this path or this adventure, but it's we're all guilty of it, right? It's like, yeah, I've experienced this, and I refuse to go down that road ever again. I'm going to make better choices. And then in a moment of weakness or just emotional whatever, we go down there again. So I feel like that's his description of his own journey of here I am again. Lord have mercy. Come on. I don't want to do this. Why am I doing this to myself?
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. I think of people struggling with addictions like alcohol, like, oh, here I am in rehab again, or drug addiction or porn or whatever it may be. Here I am again. Here I am again. You know, so yeah, and this is where I find myself again. And what happens when he finds himself there again? The chorus, Kyrie eleison, down the road I must travel. You know, Lord have mercy, Kyrie eleison, through the darkness of the night. Kyrie eleison, where I'm going, will you follow? You know, Kyrie eleison, on a highway in the light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love that. So, and so, yeah, he finds himself there again, but yet that's when he calls on the Lord.
Yeah.
When he, I'm here again. What do? I don't wallow in my own self-pity. You know, I call on the Lord to help me yet again.
Yeah.
Like I did the last time, you know. But again, I like that he's calling on the Lord and not giving up.
Sure.
You know?
Well, and I love the choice of words there, because it's the reality of down the road I must travel. Because again, when you ask for God's mercy, it's not for him to pick you up and just place you somewhere else. He is walking with you. He is illuminating the path of take this step, take this step, take this step. Because again, we have to walk that journey. If we don't want to end back up between the soul and soft machine, we have to find ourselves walking the path with God's help and his mercy, so that we know, okay, this is how I get here, so that I don't go down the other road that seems much more familiar and is much more of a habit for me.
Yeah, and through the darkness of the night, because that's what it feels like.
Yep.
The deep darkness. Where I'm going, will you follow?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, of course, the Lord's, Lord have mercy. Are you going to be with me? Are you sure? The confidence, you know, like, you know, I love how David in the Psalms, you know, is just confident that the Lord, yeah, I know you're going to be with me. He may not be there right now, but I know you're going to be there.
Yeah.
And he's asked the question, are you going to follow? Are you going to be with me in this? You know, on a highway in the light. That's it. So through the darkness of the night, there's that hope. There's that beacon of light. The light at the end of the tunnel, as we say sometimes. You know, the light that shines in the darkness. And that's Jesus. He is the light that penetrates the deepest darkness, that penetrates that pain in our soul with his light of love and mercy and truth.
Yeah, and think about this too. I love, as a songwriter, I love the imagery of highway in the light, because again, we're not slowing down, we're on the highway, right? So we're going at a certain speed, and so with God's mercy, I'm still going to go with the speed that I'm at, because I'm on this highway, I'm on this road, but God is illuminating where I'm going. It's like suddenly I understand how the GPS communicates to me. Go here, go here. And what does a GPS do when you get off route? It doesn't tell you you're wrong. It says rerouting.
Rerouting.
But it always reroutes you to an illuminated path, and it may show you multiple paths, you know, and God sometimes does that. Okay, I'm giving you three options. If you whichever one you take, I got you. But you know the path to take. One may get you there 10 minutes early. One may get you there an hour later. You know, take the scenic route, so to speak. But again, you're on the highway in the light, which is Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. And the highway could be scary because you're going pretty fast.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you're feeling a little bit losing control, you know, on the highway there if you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to keep your eyes focused on the road ahead. I love that. And then we get into verse 3, the last verse here. When I was young, I thought of growing old. I love that. That's very profound.
Yes.
Because I can remember thinking, I can't wait till I get older. You know, because there were certain things you wanted to do that you couldn't do because you were told you're not old enough.
Yeah.
Right? Or you're too young. You can't participate. And so reflecting back on that time, you know, of what my life would mean to me. So now he's looking back with perspective. You know, when I was young, I thought of going old. Here's what it means to be an adult. And I can't wait to do this. I can't wait to do that. I can't wait to be a doctor. I can't wait to, whatever the Lord has called me to, what my life would mean to me. Would I have followed down my chosen road or only wished what I could be? I love that's very, very profound, I think.
Yeah, and the thing too, when you process through your faith filter, it allows you to realize how much getting older didn't have all the perks that you and when was the last time you ate dessert first? I mean, all the things that we said, when I'm older, I'm gonna, but we also were processing, what does this mean? Why am I going through this? Am I here? Because I went through that several times, but specifically 2017 stands out as the most recent of just that, Lord, what decisions have I made that has put me in this position and here? What is it that you have done to orchestrate to get me here? And as those two truths meet, what does it mean moving forward? What am I to learn? How can I break my own cycle to be where I've always supposed to have been? So again, we can ask the meaning of life, but it's really the meaning of purpose, the meaning of position of where you're at.
Yeah, I love that. Would I have followed down my chosen road? And so that shows that we have choices and decisions that we make about what we do with our lives. And those are free decisions. Only wished what I could be. So there's almost a disparity there. Okay, would I have followed down my chosen road? What I've chosen, or only wish that I could be, so he's, and I think we look back with, what if I would have done this instead of this, I was talking about this with, was on the tour with the Australian speakers. We're just in the car, one of our long drives through Texas, and we talk about faith, all kinds of things, music, all kinds of stuff, and one of the things that came up there was like, do you ever think sometimes, like, what if you made a different decision? Not saying that you regret your choice to be married and to have kids, but they said, Deacon, do you ever think about what it's like if you would have stayed in a monastery, if you would have went back? Yeah, and I do. That's true. I do think about that sometimes. I mean, I don't long for it because this is the path that God has me on, and I embrace it. I accept it. But yeah, every once in a while, yeah, I wonder what life would have been like if I would have done this. And all of us went around talking about, and all of us admitted, yeah, we think about it sometimes. Not again, not longing for it, not yearning for it, not regretting the decisions that we made, but understanding that, wow, life could have been very different had I chosen this path. And this verse reminds me of who to make those decisions with. We make it ourselves, or do we make it with God?
Well, and it's people who, and I've been guilty of too, saying, well, if I knew then what I know now, but we weren't in a place to know it, and we had to walk the path to learn it. So if you had gone any other path, you couldn't just, again, you can't be plucked from the highway onto another spot in the highway at a certain speed of your life and expect it to just suddenly make sense and be, the country road versus the highway speed, like it's the choices that you've made, which God takes into account for your life, that He knows 10 million steps ahead. Okay, He's going to choose this, she's going to choose that, and this is where I'm going to show them my love. This is where I'm going to help them as they break their own hearts or have it broken by something else or someone else, and then I'm going to heal them through it, because then it's all a matter of what path and choices that are made so that we can see God. So if where you are is, no matter how much pain you had to endure and overcome, it put you in a place where you were closer to God. That is the reason why it happened.
Yeah, exactly. And at the time when you're going through it, you felt you made the right decision at that time. Right? So it's not like, oh, flip a coin. No, it wasn't flip a coin. It was like, I at this time, and you just have to trust that that was the decision that you were thinking and working with God at that time.
Amen.
Love that. Man, I love these Beacon of Truth playlist episodes. We go through some great songs and look at this from a faith perspective. I hope that was powerful for you. Now, remember, my friends, you can stream today's show and all the shows of Beacon of Truth, including this playlist episode and the Soulful Songs, by visiting Podcast Central at ew10.com/radio. And looking forward to being with you again tomorrow. And until then, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Clear.